For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2021 Lake Hamilton Bible Camp April Virtual Zoom Meeting. Deborah Vales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp's director, Merrill Miller. Saturday evening, April the 17th, 2021, Carla Bue Todd is the speaker of the evening teaching on Breaking Bondage of the Fear of Death.
Tonight, I really feel like the Lord has so much He wants to say to us, that as I have what I have spread before me, I just have to ask Him to lay it out, put it in some sort of order, because there is so much. My heart is so full of what the word that I want to give to all of y'all, myself included. But I'm going to start by reading some scripture. I wasn't prepared for that. Can I go get a Kleenex? Yes. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands and worship the Lord right where you are? Can you just worship the Lord? The presence of God is here in a magnificent way tonight. And we can't wait for Him to have His way tonight. So if you love the Lord, just worship Him right now. We thank
just worship you, Lord.
Presence right now. We thank you, Lord.
Spirit of the Lord is here.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for what you're doing.
We worship you.
Have your way tonight.
Yes.
That your perfect, complete, and whole will be done, oh God.
Yes.
That you've graced us tonight, Lord God.
Yes.
We thank you for your Shekinah glory, your presence, oh God. Have your way in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Minister to each and every heart, God. Every life here. Oh, God, this is your work, Lord God. And we yield to you tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit and your presence now. Thank you, God, for your love for each and every one. We love you, Father.
Yes.
And thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yes. Okay. This first scripture that I want to read is from Luke 5:17. It says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And so tonight, as we hear the word that comes forth, His power is present to heal whatever you need healing of. That power, He is the healer. Isaiah 53:1-5 says, "He who hath believed, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I want you to know that the meaning of noisome pestilence is any ill-smelling, infectious disease or virus. That is the Hebrew definition. Any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. Is that not what we've been faced with this last year? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me. Now it's Jesus speaking. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Mark 7:6-9. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, Jesus said. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. And then in verse 13 it says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do. Our tradition in the world has become going to the church for our spiritual needs, going to the doctor for our physical needs, going to the bank for our financial needs. When clearly God has told us in Exodus 15:26, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, there was a time God gave me such an understanding, a deeper understanding of this scripture, when I was reading the story of Abraham and Sarah and the coming of Isaac and Hagar and Ishmael. When Hagar left the camp because Sarah told Abraham, this Ishmael will not share the inheritance of our son, the promised one, Isaac. And I know that broke Abraham's heart because Ishmael was his son and he loved him. But when he went to God about it, God said this in the scripture to, this is in Genesis 21, if you want to read it sometime. But, God told Abraham, do what your wife has said. So Abraham had to send Hagar and Ishmael away from where they were living. And she and the boy departed, and she ran out of food and water. And she put her Ishmael under a bush, and then she went a distance and got under another bush. I'm sure she did not want to watch her child die of starvation and thirst. Excuse me. And it says that God heard the cries of the lad. He heard the cries of the lad. And because of that, he opened Hagar's eyes and she saw a well of water. That excited me because right there in her reach was what she needed. And she didn't see it, but God opened her eyes so that she could see into the realm of provision of the kingdom of God. And there was a well of water. Was it there? Did he just put it there all of a sudden, or was it? It was there in the kingdom realm, but she did not have eyes to see it. And that excited me about this scripture, and it really cemented it for me that God truly has provided all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So tonight, I pray that God would open our spiritual eyes that we can see into that realm of his provision, whatever it is we need, whatever it is. If it's money, if it's food, if it's water, if it's safety, if it's peace, whatever it is, God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I love that. I love that. And it wasn't just a bottle of water to quench their thirst. It was a well that they could draw from again and again and again. And that's what we have in him, is that provision. I wanted to talk tonight about God's provision in the way of healing, not only to heal us when we get sick, but also his ability to keep us. We're in a time where we need to be kept. I mentioned earlier today that I have seen this whole thing as an invitation to enter into God's rest. We look unto him, from whence cometh our help. It's an invitation to come into his ark of safety, which is him. In him we live and move and have our being, in him. And that is that place that is surpasses all understanding, that we can have that peace in him that passes all understanding. As we embarked on this craziness that's been going on in the world with this virus, you know, that's one of the things that I drew comfort, because this is a virus, right? It's a contagious disease. And we are told in Psalm 91 that no noisome pestilence, and that means any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. That's exciting to me, because in him we're not going to be touched by that. It said, 1,000 shall fall at our right hand and a left hand and 10,000, however it's worded, 1,000 and 10,000, but it will not come near us. So when this all started happening, I am like, Lord, what is this? I mean, we've never seen anything like this to this magnitude. And where are we in this? And he began to minister to me these scriptures, bringing them back to my memory. As I said this morning, when we put the word of God in us, the Holy Ghost will bring it to us when we have need. He will bring it to our memory, our remembrance. And so he can comfort us with his word again and again and again. I started thinking about God's people when Moses went to the Pharaoh. And, of course, God hardened his heart so that he could show his glory. He could show his power to deliver and to save. And so, of course, we know the Pharaoh said no, no, no. And each time there was a plague, there were gnats, there were frogs, there was darkness, there was all of these different things that came upon the Egyptians. But where were God's people in this? He had them tucked away in a place. It was in Egypt. It was in the same place where all this other stuff was going on, the curses. But God's people were not touched by it. When Egypt was in total darkness, they had light. When the gnats, the plagues were poured out, they didn't happen in Goshen, not to God's people. He had them in a tucked away, safe place. And that's what he is to us, that tucked away, safe place. Why has this been so devastating to people? Because the word tells us that all our lifetime, we are held in bondage to the fear of death. That encompasses everything that this virus that was released on our earth was about, was the fear of death. People were so afraid that they would get COVID and die. So we're told to wear these masks. Now, masks are not anything new. They're new to us, but I mean, we've been watching China forever. You know, every flu season, they all don their masks and walk around masked up. You know, I was thinking the other day, there was a day that if you were in a store and somebody walked in with a mask on like that, we would all be thinking we were in the middle of a robbery. So we're all walking around looking like somebody that would have scared us before. And I know, you know, it's been information overload, honestly. If I had watched every video that people have sent to me, I wouldn't have time in 10 years to watch all of them. But there came a time when I had to say enough. Enough. I'm not going to listen to it anymore. You know, Mike declared in our household years ago that we're not watching the news. We will not have the news on this television in our house. We called it the gruesome news because there was never anything good. I used to wish for a news cast, a news station where they had nothing but good, positive, you know, share good things that happened in the day or, you know, things that were uplifting and would would give you a peace of mind. No, all you ever hear is murders and kidnappings and explosions and just nothing but bad news. I look back on that day when he said that, and we didn't. You know, when 9/11 happened, I had praise music on in my house, and I was, you know, just cleaning the kitchen and stuff, and my mother called very early in the morning. Are you watching TV? I said, no. She said, turn it on. I said, what station? She said, any station. Just turn on the TV. So I turn on the TV right in time to see the second plane crash into those towers. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I couldn't even believe what I was seeing. It just, and you know, and now we're having more things that I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe what I'm hearing. And if we are not in that tucked away place in Him, this can shake us beyond our peace. And it has shaken many people beyond their peace. There are people suffering anxiety, panic attacks, insomnia, depression, all of these things because of the hopelessness that tends to come across the airways. And so tonight I just wanted to encourage us in this place where the whole world is in bondage to the fear of death. You know, now we don't have to wear masks in Texas anymore, but I mean, maybe 50% or more people are still wearing the mask and stare you down if you don't have one on. But it's that fear. You know, my mother is 95. She, you know, they talked about how bad this was for the elderly people and all of this. And one day she was just kind of, we were talking about it and she was wondering out loud if she should, you know, consider this vaccine. And I said, Mama, how many regular flu shots have you had in your life? And she said, none. And I said, and how many times have you had the flu? She said, never. I said, that should be your answer right there. You're healthy. You trust God with your health and you've not been sick. But I've also encouraged her too. Like when she got old enough to be on Social Security, Medicare, all of a sudden she's got all these appointments. Now, my mother was never in the doctor's office, but all of a sudden, well, I have an appointment with the doctor next Tuesday. Well, what for, Mama? Well, they called me and told me that I need to have a bone density. I need to have all her numbers checked, you know, her blood pressure and her cholesterol and all these things. And I said, well, sure they do, Mama. Sure they want you. I said, do you know what you are now because you are on Medicaid? You have become their brand new tick on the dog of government. They're going to send you. They're going to make sure you go here, you go there, you go this, you go that, so they can bill Medicaid. And they're going to be, hey, they're going to make money off of you now, and they're going to send you to all of these places. My brother, when he turned 50, okay, he's 72. So this was 22 years ago. And we had met for lunch. I lived up in the woods. So I came home to see my family and he wanted to go have lunch. And, before we parted, when I was getting out of his truck, he said, hey, be praying for me because I've got to go in for a colonoscopy. And I said, are you having trouble? And he said, no, but they say when you turn 50, you should go have a colonoscopy. And I said, oh, okay. I said, so Jerry, we're sitting in this new truck. It's a Ford. Now, if something goes wrong with this Ford truck, are you going to take it to the Volkswagen people to get it fixed? And he said, well, no. I said, right, because Ford made this truck. Ford knows how it's supposed to run. They'll be able to tell if something's not running right and fix it, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, God made your body. If, you know, and my mother plays bridge every Thursday, and many times I'm here for a visit. And, have you had your shot yet? And I, have you been tested? That was it. Have you been tested for the COVID? And I said, no, I haven't been tested for the COVID. I said, you know what? I am with my body kind of like I am my car. If there's nothing wrong with it, I don't take it to the mechanic. But that's just how I've lived my life. Because when I first got saved, that was one of the first things that God told me. If you get sick, I can heal you. And then a few years later, and I took it. I said, Lord, I receive it right now for me, for Mike, and our kids. And I want you to know, when I started trusting God for our health, we quit getting sick. I had three babies in 3 years. And you know how little babies are. They're always got something. And once one gets it, the other two get it. That was just the way it was. Well, I thought we would never get the doctor bill paid off. But when we started trusting God, and the first time one of mine got sick, I called the church I was going to, because the Bible says, if any among you are sick, let them call on the elders of the church. So, hey, I called them up. And the secretary says, I said, who are the elders of our church? And she said, well, why do you want to know? I said, because one of my children is sick, and I read in the Bible that if anyone is sick, you call on the elders of the church and have them be prayed for, anointed with oil. And she goes, oh, honey, we don't do that. And I said, Lord, are you sure I'm in the right church? So, hey, I got my own oil out. I laid hands on my baby. And guess what? They got healed. The fever left. Whatever was going on stopped. I remember Katie having this. She had these little blisters that would come up, and they were painful. So I took her to the, this is before I was trusting God for their health. I took her to the doctor because I was scared. And she said, oh, yeah, we see this a lot. It's a virus. It's just going to run its course. There's nothing we can do for it. I said, well, how long is it going to last? And she said, well, sometime it'll last a month and sometime it'll last for years. And I was like, I don't think so. I took her home, anointed her with oil. I had Kyle and Wade come in. I said, we're going to lay hands on Katie and we're going to get rid of these blisters. So prayed for her, and they left. Even some of them, you know, had that little red line coming off of it, which is blood poisoning, you know. But it was kind of scary. I had to not look at that. I had to not let that instill fear in me. But we prayed, and she got well. So God told me even later, he said, not only can I heal you if you get sick, but I can keep you. And I said, I'll take it. I receive it. And so we all have led very healthy lives because God is our keeper. He's our maker. He's our keeper. He's our great physician. And so when this thing shows up, I'm like, wait a minute. If the word of God is true, and it is, then why should we, as his people, have any fear at all over this? But as the word says, we are all our lifetime in bondage to the fear of death. And that it really is a real fear. people worry a lot about their health. And I understand that. I don't like people to be sick either. But our tradition has been, we go to church on Sunday, we've got a little problem going on, and then Monday morning, we call and make an appointment at the doctor. Or if we're in trouble and we're needing some financial help, we go to church on Sunday, we praise and worship, we take our spiritual needs to God, but then we go home on Monday and call the bank and go get a loan. You know, tradition, it says, makes the word of God of none effect. And that's, I want us to come back to that tradition of having God be the one that we go to for all of our needs. As Hagar, she didn't go to God. She was crying out to God because she was scared she was gonna die. But God met her needs, and he can do the same thing for us. Okay. Now, death is two things. Death is a curse that came on all of us through Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And now go to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die." That's what God told them. Now, we know that they didn't drop dead when they took from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that word die, in the Strong's Concordance means worthy of death. Die means worthy of death. They became worthy of death through their disobedience. Webster says of the word die, it means to stop living or subside gradually. So you see that we were formed in the image of God and after his likeness, and God is eternal, is he not? We were formed in his image and after his likeness, and we were also eternal beings until they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's when death, sin came in, and death as a result of sin. So now every person that's born after Adam and Eve were born with the curse of death upon them because of sin. Okay? In Genesis chapter 5, and this is something a lot of people stumble over, it says Adam lived 930 years. Well, a lot of people say, yeah, but their years weren't that, you know, I don't even get into all of that. It says that he lived 930 years. And different ones lived, like Seth lived to be 912, Enos 905, Canaan 910, Mahalalel, I don't know how to pronounce his name, 895, Jared 962, Enoch 365, Methuselah 969, Lamech 777 years, That's a long time. Because we were formed in the image of God and after his likeness, and we were eternal beings, it took a long time for death to conquer the man. Okay? So the spirit of death entered mankind. Death is present the day we are conceived. Death is there. The spirit of death is still working. It's that subsiding gradually. It's what causes us to age. That came with death, subsiding gradually. That's that word die, that slow, gradual diminishing of, is what causes us to lose our memories. It's what causes us to lose cells in our minds. It's what causes our teeth to decay. It's what causes our bones to become brittle. It is a subsiding gradually. It's why our hair turns gray. It's what causes us to begin to lose our good sight. It's at work in our lives every day. But we're going to see something later. And I want to look at and deal with the spirit of death and break the curse of death. You know, it's Jesus, when he died, yes, he did. He broke the curse. I'm going to show you later how what he did abolished death. Okay. We're not going to die. Once we're born again in the spirit, we start our eternal life the minute we're born again. Isn't that exciting? Okay. So, let me see. I have so much in my notes. I'm not going to be able to say it all, but, in Hebrews 2, verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus tasted death for all of us. He experienced death. Look at verse 14, Hebrews 2, verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." I love how he never leaves us guessing who this person is, the devil. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So see, he has delivered us from that fear, that bondage of fear to death. So there's a lot wrapped up in this law of death. And that's why we get concerned when something goes wrong in our bodies, because the ultimate fear is that we might die. But Romans 8, verse 11 says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." Now, how many of you are saved and have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you? So if that is the case, then the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Isn't that exciting? Quicken means to bring alive. So we have this spirit in us that has the ability to even cause that which is dead in our bodies to become alive again, to be filled with resurrection life. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 through 10. "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, thank God, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. There's some good news. He has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has abolished death. So one of the questions I ask, well, if death has been abolished, then why do we want to die? Why do we want to have this death working in us, this spirit of death, this slow, gradual diminishing of? Not die like buried in the ground, but that slow, gradual, subsiding thing that was put into motion in the garden has been abolished. So we don't have to be dying and dying and diminishing. That was life-changing to me to learn that. So I began to deal with the spirit of death in my life. When I would take a bath, I would be washing my body and I'd be saying, Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross in my behalf, and you have abolished death. So I speak to everything that's dying in my body. I thank you that it's been abolished, and I speak a quickening to my body, that I be quickened and not a slow, gradual diminishing. I started binding and breaking that spirit of death in my life. The spirit that is trying to make me die, make me become lifeless, make me become old, make me become slow, slow of mind, slow of body. Mike refuses to say the word old. Now, he might say I'm getting greater in number, but he's not going to say that he is old. Because you know why? You get what you say. Your words have power. If you're always saying, oh my gosh, I'm having a senior moment. I can't remember anything anymore. Oh, I'm having such trouble. I have no strength in my body. When you say these things, it's like calling it to you. And we don't want to do that. If it's been abolished, if it says in the word abolish means to do away with wholly, wholly. That means completely and put an end to. Strong says to bring to naught and to make void. This is what Jesus has done for us. We come to the cross and we receive salvation, but there is so much more to what he did. He abolished death. He tasted it for you and for me and for everyone. Is it automatic? No, there are some who get saved and they just get older by the day, older by the day, and they're dwindling and they're diminishing and pining away instead of having that quickening in your body that is restoring your strength. Remember, do y'all remember when I did the last will and testament of Jesus? I won't go into the story about how I came about getting a will, other than the man that we rent from in Mike's business is an attorney. So I asked him for a blank will. He was a little skeptical. I said, no, it's for a Bible lesson. But this is the last will and testament. It's Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, which I read a while ago. And I broke all of these words down in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. It says in verse 4, surely he hath borne, that means to carry, he took it away, our griefs. Griefs, and I want you to listen to these definitions, because you will find that every single thing known to man, even unknown, new stuff like COVID, is in these scriptures. Griefs means disease or disorder of the body or mind, anxiety, weakness, sickness, affliction, calamity. You know what calamity means? A state of deep distress or misery caused by major misfortune or loss, made sorry, sore, and writhing in pain. See, he carried that for us. Carried means to suffer the burden, to be a burden, and to labor. He did that. I remember when God showed me these, and I was about 6 months pregnant at the time, and I wanted a baby more than anything, but every time I would think about how that baby was going to, how I was going to be able to hold this baby, it had to come out, and that was, I was not looking forward to, because in the movies, all I saw was women hanging onto the headboard, screaming and writhing in pain. And that's what it says. He took it. He actually took the pain of childbirth for every woman on himself. No wonder, you know, his crucifixion was horrible, because he took every single disease known to man. He suffered it right there on the cross. Arthritis, spine disorders, migraine headaches, mental disorders, every single thing that we will ever suffer, he suffered it for us. Okay? He carried our sorrows. Sorrows is anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind, mentally, emotionally, and physically. It means sadness. You know, there is a lot of sadness, a lot of sadness. You know, before COVID, I was putting together a teaching called Dealing with the New Normal. And in that, because I get so many emails from grandparents that are grieved because their sons or daughters have had babies out of wedlock, and maybe several babies out of wedlock with this baby daddy or this baby mama, and kids are spread out all over the place. There is no more a family gathering without the drama of having this baby daddy, that baby mama, you know, all these different grandparents, and it has just become madness. And those days of, like, when I grew up on Sunday, we would go to my grandmother's house and maybe eat dinner with them. Or even after Mike and I got married, my mom would have us over to eat and stuff like that. It's hard to do that anymore. What we have always seen as family and tradition has been blown out of the water. And there is so much sadness, so much brokenheartedness over things like that. But the good news is Jesus suffered all that pain and sorrow and grief so that we wouldn't have to. Now that takes a labor. You know, there's one place in the Bible where, you know, we are not supposed to strive, but we are to strive to enter into his rest. That's the only kind of striving that is permissible, is that we strive to enter into his rest, because he came to give us that. As Meryl said earlier, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has that for us. It means continued pain or distress, afflictions, any cause of continued pain or distress, blemishes and destructions. It says he was wounded. That means injured by cutting or breaking bodily tissue, broken open as with a wedge. That's what they did to Jesus. They beat him. His flesh was torn. He was cut and broken open as with a wedge, profaned or violated or treated with irreverence, abuse, contempt, and desecrate. All of that was done to our Jesus. All of that. Transgressions is rebellion, sin, and trespass. See, he took all of that because of our rebellion. He suffered our punishment for us. It says that he was bruised. Bruised means beat to pieces, break, destroy, humble, like to destroy the power or prestige of. Here he is, the King of Kings, and was being humbled in this crucifixion. It means smite with sudden hard blows, oppress or treat cruelly, to burden the spirit by harsh cruelty. Jesus suffered harsh cruelty. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities is perversities, moral evils, faults, mischiefs, and wrongdoings and sin. That's what he took because of ours. The chastisement of our peace. He took the correction. He took the discipline. He took the rebuke for whatever is keeping you from having peace right now. He took it so that we can have peace. Peace means safe, well, whole, healthy, prosperous, at rest, happy, friendly, completely restored. That's what peace means. That's pretty good stuff. And by his stripes, by his black and blue marks, by his bruises, his hurt, his wound, and welts, we are healed, made well, healthy, mended, cured, repaired thoroughly, made whole, free from defect or damage, intact, having all its parts. We are healed. Jesus healed them all. He never left anybody almost whole. No, he healed them all, and they were made whole. And at the bottom of this wheel, I wrote like a little note what I feel that our Lord says to us. My child, when I shed my blood on the cross of Calvary, I took upon myself the payment for sin that otherwise would have been required of you. I suffered the shame, the punishment, the condemnation, and damnation for your sins so you wouldn't have to. You are forgiven. At the same time, I took upon myself the suffering of every sickness, every disease and affliction known to mankind, and destroyed its power over you. You are healed. I also suffered all forms of bondage and the torment that goes along with it so you could enjoy complete rest and freedom. You are delivered. I did all this because of my great love for you, and I pray you will receive it all with joy. Signed, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is our great inheritance in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. But is it automatic? Well, we know the answer to that is yes, it was automatic, but does it happen to us automatically? No, it didn't for me. I was a Christian long before I came into this knowledge and understanding. And I compare it to like having a fire extinguisher in your house. You know, let's say somebody's in your kitchen and you're cooking and a little bit of grease gets over on the side of the stove and it catches fire. And people say to you, the person says, oh my goodness, you've got a fire. Well, it's okay. I have a fire extinguisher. This is how we are with salvation. It's okay. I'm saved. And so she still continues to cook and the fire's getting a little bigger, you know, and they say, Hey, the fire is getting bigger. It's okay. I've got a fire extinguisher. But let me tell you, if you don't pick up the fire extinguisher and apply it to the fire, your house is going to burn down. And this is how it is with the things that Jesus has done for us. And we know it, but until we appropriate it, we don't see the benefit of it. I mean, I know I used to get sick all the time. I'm like, Lord, I'm a Christian. Why am I getting sick? Well, I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. But that's why I want to share this with you so that you can begin to appropriate the fullness of what Jesus has done for you to your body. We can appropriate these things and see results in our bodies. Okay. He is in you, his spirit. The spirit of God is in you. And he that raised up Christ from the dead, that power dwells in you. And the word quicken means, listen to this, commence, begin, start, active growth, and development. So if there is anything in your body that has been causing you to gradually, slowly subside, it's a continual diminishing. If you have that working in your body, then you can apply the quickening. Lord, I activate that quickening of your spirit, the power of your spirit to quicken my mortal body, my flesh and my blood and my bones. To begin active growth and development, to commence, to carry on, to go forward, and to finish. It's like Paul said, I've been using this a lot lately when people email me because they have problems in their body and they're concentrating on these problems in their body and it becomes almost a distraction of what Jesus has done and almost a contradiction to what the word says we should be. And Paul said, this is in 1 John. I don't have the scripture written here, but Paul said, brethren, I wish above all things that thou wouldst prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And there is only one way for our soul to prosper, and that is in the Word of God. So when you pray even for yourself or even for someone who is sick, I used to pray for whatever the sickness was. But now when I pray for someone, I start by breaking the curse of death that came on all of us through Adam and Eve. So after you break that curse of death, you can deal with the spirit of death, bind it, break its power, command it to get out of your body. And then you can go to the infirmity. So I break the curse of death. I deal with the spirit of death. Then I bind and break the power of the spirit of infirmity called whatever it is. Cancer, arthritis, heart trouble, whatever it is. Because death is actually the ruler spirit over every infirmity. That's what the enemy wants to do, is to kill you ultimately. That's what he wants to do. People say, well, do you think all sickness is a curse or a demon? Well, I have to look at the scripture. Of course, there is the guy that was blind, and the disciples said, well, who sinned? You know, because they were aware of generationally inherited curses. Who sinned that this man should be blind? Jesus said, nobody.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.